The way I saw it, when you had kids, you gave up your entire life because that's what I saw my parents do for us. They never went out with friends. They didn't have interests of their own. It was only us. And that is what I thought parenthood was. When I had kids, though, I felt the pushback. I felt that society weight on me that I had to be nursing my child and I had to be enamored with her every moment. I started to think, my gosh, all of these beliefs that I have, it is me holding me down. A lot of other women feel this way too. They don't feel like they can let go of these things that they're holding on to so tightly, and it's dictating their time, it's dictating their energy level, it's dictating everything. What I want to do is take that guilt away because I know that when we're able to release the mom guilt, we can step more into our power as women and we can make such change in the world.
Is your child's challenging behavior leaving you feeling exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? You are not alone. And I want you to know you are not a failure and your child is not broken. Welcome to Calm the Chaos Parenting, the podcast for parents raising strong-willed, highly sensitive, or neurodivergent children. I'm Dana Abraham, parenting expert, and I have helped hundreds of thousands of families just like yours. Each week, I'll share simple science-backed solutions to help you feel more grounded, in tune, and deeply connected to your child, no matter what challenge you face. Start your journey from surviving to thriving as a family at calmthechaospodcast.com.
Hey, and welcome back to the Calm the Chaos Parenting Podcast. Today, I am diving into the topic of mom guilt with one of my good friends. We actually talk regularly about our businesses and about life and about parenting and about all the things. We actually struggled to get started with this episode today because we were just chatting and diving in. I'm super excited to talk about this because anytime I bring up focusing on yourself, anytime I talk about having time for yourself or focusing on your own needs, there is this idea, this guilt that comes up of, well, I can't do that. That's selfish. And so I wanted to have my good friend on today to talk about mom guilt, where it comes from, why it happens, what we can do about it so that we can give ourselves permission to spend more time on ourselves. So Joanne, thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to talk about this. It is one of my favorite subjects, obviously, because of No Guilt Mom.
Yes. So Joanne is the founder of No Guilt Mom. She runs some amazing summits. Tell people that don't know who you are just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I have quite the background, actually, a varied background. When I graduated college, I thought I wanted to be in television and film. And that's what I concentrated on. I went to LA. I spent time in the agencies. When I got there, I found that some things were tricky. Like, you know how you're raised, and you're raised to be the good girl, to not use like the bad language or to get shamed for using the bad language or anything. At the agency, there was like F-bombs thrown around repeatedly by the superiors. And like, it was like, I mentioned this because it was such a turning point in the process of how like I was taught to interact in the world and how I was taught by my parents to interact in the world. Eventually, I decided like this was not the business for me. I went back to school, got my master's degree, and became an elementary school teacher, which was like a total one.
Well, there's a lot of performing, I would say, in the classroom. I think that if you were in film and acting, you've got a hand up in elementary education.
Yeah, I mean, I was a theater major in college, and then like I was in the business side of the entertainment industry. And then coming back to the performance, you're right, in the teaching. And I loved education. I loved working with kids. I loved all of it. And I stayed in it for about 5 years until my second child was born. And at that time, there were just a lot of challenges coming up with the next year of, I was a fifth grade teacher, the next year, fourth graders. And I'm like, don't want to start you guys off with a sub. Don't think it'll be good for my mental health to come in 3 months in and with a newborn and lack of sleep. So I'm going to take the year. And during that year, I started my company, which became now No Guilt Mom. And it's been that way for 10 years. But the reason I started No Guilt Mom is because I always saw my mom. When I was growing up, like she had a lot of stress on her. She was working a full-time job in hospital administration. And then she would come home and she would be expected to cook the meal and take care of us kids. And she never took the time for herself. I remember watching her as a 14-year-old and she's like, oh, I just never have time to do all those things. I never have time for that. And I was like, Mom, like, she was talking specifically about exercise. Mom, you have a gym at your work. Like, why can't you just stay like another hour at work and we'll be fine? And she's like, no, I can't do that. And I just remember seeing that in her. So much so that when I married my husband and he was the one who wanted to have kids right away. We were 24 and he's like, so when are we going to have kids? And I'm like, hold on there, mister. Because the way I saw it, when you had kids, you gave up your entire life because that's what I saw my parents do for us. They never went out with friends. They didn't have interests of their own. It was only us. And that is what I thought parenthood was. And so I resisted a lot until we visited his cousins and we saw them trying to run a company and having two small kids. And I'm like, oh, this might actually work and this may be okay. And when I had kids, though, again, I felt the pushback. I felt that society weight on me that I had to be like nursing my child and I had to be enamored with her every moment. And as a 1-month-old, I just remember looking at her and being like, okay, there's only 18 more years until she's out on her own. And that's all I could think of. Like, I had horrible postpartum depression and anxiety. Awful, awful, awful. Because all of these expectations that I learned throughout the years, that I saw as I was being raised, they were weighing me down. And I went into therapy for the very first time in my entire life. And it was in there where I was describing just how much I hated nursing, how much I hated breastfeeding, how painful it was, but how I felt like I needed to do it to be a good mom. And she turned to me and she's like, Joanne, your only responsibility is to feed your child. It doesn't matter how it happens. Just get her nutrients. And that day, I bought a cabbage. I put on some sports bras. I stuck them in my bra and we immediately switched my daughter to formula. And it was a whole new world because I was finally getting sleep. It was the first letting go of a societal expectation that I experienced where, yes, it was hard in the beginning, but it brought such relief and fulfillment and this feeling of support. And that's when I started to think, my gosh, all of these beliefs that I have, it is me holding me down. And a lot of other women feel this way too. They don't feel like they can let go of these things that they're holding on to so tightly. And it's dictating their time. It's dictating their energy level. It's dictating everything, their relationships with their kids. And so No Guilt Mom. And what I want to do is take that guilt away because I know that when we're able to release the mom guilt, we can step more into our power as women and we can make such change in the world.
And, you know, one of the things as you're talking about this is you grew up with this and you grew up with this belief that your time wasn't important, that your body wasn't important, that you were here to serve your family, serve your kids. And by doing what you're doing and sharing this message with moms, you're saying, look, we're not just doing this for ourselves. So it's actually the most selfless act you can do is to give yourself attention because now you're showing your daughter, you're showing your kid that they matter. And yes. that their body matters and that their time matters and their energy matters. And that when they have their own family, that they can both be a great parent and spend time taking care of themselves. And so you are building brand new stories for the next generation, which is just so powerful and so beautiful. So
you're right. And I see it already in my kids because when you're aware of your own stories, you can then verbalize them as you're going through them and you can verbalize your feelings going through them. Like I talk with my 15-year-old daughter a lot about how women are sometimes expected to be a people pleaser and that I never want her to be a people pleaser. And she pushes back. She's like, Mom, don't worry about that. I don't want to do anything anybody tells me to do. And I see it in her daily life, but it works so it's not a trick or it's not a hack. It's just simply being aware of the stories that you grew up with and the stories mm-hmm. that you are telling yourself, and then bringing those stories out and talking about them. That makes such a difference in the relationship with our kids too. Because then when I act in irrational ways, I'm able to go back and be like, you know what? This is what I was thinking. And now that I have a 15-year-old, she's at the point where she's like, oh, okay, I could see that. I think in similar ways sometimes too. Like she'll say something like, yeah, but mom, you're not. You're a great mom. And you're like, you did this, this, and this, and this. And then look at dad. He doesn't do that. I'm like, thank you for noticing those gender norms. I appreciate that.
So I am curious. Let's dive into this. Anyone that's been listening to the podcast knows that we have a framework. It's You Connect, Understand, Empower, or UQ for short. So I'd like to dive into some of those pieces to unravel and dissect this idea of mom guilt. So you mentioned already the stories, the thoughts that go through our head that are pretty indicative of or lead to mom guilt. Can you mm-hmm. talk through what some of those might sound like and what a swap would be for that mindset shift that we might need if we're finding ourselves feeling guilty or feeling that shame or feeling that resentment?
Sure. So a lot of what I find is that the guilt isn't the first emotion that you recognize, like when you're plagued by mom guilt, when mom guilt is affecting your life. You recognize the anger, you recognize the overwhelm, and you recognize the resentment. So if you're feeling any of those things right now, that is a great sign that there are some like expectations you are holding in your head that you are forcing yourself to go through and do, which is then resulting in that anger. And it's really helpful to go back to the book Burnout. Have you read that book, Dana? Burnout by Emily and Amelia? And I forget her last name right now. They talk about something in there called human giver syndrome. And it's talking about how we have human givers, which are the women, and we have human beings, which are typically the men. And human givers are expected to give everything they have so that the human beings can be in the world. And this is how women are typically socialized to be the givers. We're socialized to be helpful and be polite and be kind and make everyone feel comfortable and make sure everyone's emotions are taken care of. And that is an exhausting job. And it's not even given credit in our society that we do that job. So just noticing if this human giver syndrome, if you're affected by these daily things, if your kids are having a temper tantrum and immediately the first thought in your head is, oh my gosh, I have to make them happy again. Or, oh my gosh, I have to fix like whatever's wrong in this moment. Those are some of the expectations that may be causing the mom guilt. And another thing that may be causing some mom guilt is this feeling that you have to be around your kids and be available to your kids all the time in case they need something from you. I know that is a mindset that I constantly struggle with. Like when you don't give yourself permission to go out on a girls' night or go on a 3 or 4 day trip with either friends or even a work trip, something that would give you joy because you feel that your kids might need you or need something in that time. And so you're not allowing yourself to go. So the first step in this whole shift is, first of all, figure out where are you feeling anger and resentment in your life right now? One of the stories that I think really drives this home, and when I first started recognizing it, is when like my daughter asks me to help her with something during the day. And this particular day, it was laundry and washing this big, gigantic comforter she has that's kind of tricky to move from the washer to the dryer because it gets sopping wet and it's this whole mess. So she asked me like at 10 a.m. on a Sunday, hey, mom, can you help me wash my comforter? And I was like, yeah, sure. You know, just tell me when you need it. Go through like 12 hours later, 10 p.m. I'm in bed reading. Mom, you said you're going to help me with my comforter. And I'm like, hold up. Like, I'm in bed right now, but inside I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I did say that I was going to help her with her comforter. And I forgot about the comforter all day. And this is really on me because I didn't help her with the comforter. And I could picture myself in that moment getting out of bed, throwing back the covers, stomping down the hallway to the washing machine and like doing those like movements where you're like jerking things around and pushing them in the dryer.
Yes.
So, yeah. You're just so angry and mad. And I was like, hold on. And I thought to myself, if I help her with the comforter right now, I'm going to be super mad at her. And I'm going to do stuff that I'm going to regret. And then I'm going to have to go and repair this relationship with her and apologize later on. It's just going to wreck the whole thing. And in that moment, I'm like, okay, what do I need to tell myself? I need to tell myself that I'm allowed to say no, and this is her responsibility. And all I told her is, I'm like, I'm in bed right now. I'm not getting out of bed right now. We're not going to do the comforter, which resulted in a huge reaction on her end. Some screaming, some saying, fine, I'll sleep on wet sheets and I'll like suffer. You know, all those things that usually bring on the mom guilt. And I stayed there and I felt the guilt and I heard all the voices in my head telling me, oh my gosh, she's going to sleep on wet sheets and she's just going to be miserable. And then she's going to be like talking about this for the rest of her life, how her mom wouldn't even get out of bed. Her mom was so lazy, and all these ways we degrade ourselves as parents. But I stayed there. It passed. The emotion passed. And I think that's something that we don't talk a lot about guilt, is that you can never get rid of the emotion. Ever. Like, you are going to experience this very uncomfortable emotion, but you experience it, you go through it, and it passes. And then it becomes easier the next time that you have to say no, because you know you will not have to deal with this feeling for very long, that it's going to pass from there. So that's another mindset shift, just knowing that it's not up to you to take away that guilt forever, but it's knowing that just going through the emotion, it's going to pass and it's going to be better at the other end. And that was total game changing on my end.
That's really helpful to just think about. I think that wanting to fix it right now, one of the mindset shifts that I've been helping people really adapt is, now is not the time. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, I want to fix it. Yeah, I want to solve this. Yes, I want to argue with my daughter. Yes, I want to do this thing. But then it's like, now is not the time. We can repair this. We can work through this. We can create a new system tomorrow. But right now, it's okay for me to hold my boundary and say, I'm in bed already and we didn't do this. And so I really like what you're talking about, allowing yourself. We want ourselves to not even feel uncomfortable. And so this idea that the guilt is coming from us being uncomfortable with that anger, that frustration, that resentment, that sadness, whatever it is, that pain, sometimes it's our own discomfort. And the guilt comes from, your brain's like, if I make you guilty, you're going to go and fix the problem. You're going to go get rid of this pain. And if we can just say, no guilt, you're fine. I don't need to get rid of this. I can just like pass through this. I really like that idea of letting it pass.
It's something that has helped me a lot, the letting it pass, because also in guilt, like Brené Brown, she talks about guilt is I did a bad thing and shame is I am a bad person. And I don't think it really applies to mom guilt so much, because that would also say that saying no to your kids is a bad thing. And it's not. It's not a bad thing whatsoever to hold those boundaries and to take care of yourself. I would say mom guilt falls in the middle between that definition of guilt and shame, because with mom guilt, you're telling yourself that I'm a bad mom. I'm a bad mom because I am not fixing this in that moment. And that's really what needs to be rewritten, because a lot of times when we fix it in the moment, that situation just comes up again and again and again, and we are constantly fixing. And then we have no break. Whereas if we could hold our boundary in the moment, if we could say no to our kids, or if we could say, you know what, I'm going to go this place and this is what's going to happen, the next time that it comes up, it just gets easier and easier to deal with. And your kids learn that you're not going to be pushed into a situation where you fix their pain right away. You're going to take care of yourself first, and you're giving your kids the opportunity to fix situations on themselves, which is so powerful and impactful for them to realize that they have that power to fix situations and they have that power to be resourceful and figure things out. And that builds their confidence overall. So really, it's a good thing in both directions. It's just dealing with that initial discomfort.
I think just, I would say, and I could probably argue that there are a bunch of lacking skills on both part, right? You forgot, she forgot. There was a bunch of executive functioning things that happened that made the comforter not get cleaned that day, but it's removing the blame. So either the blame on her or the blame on you, you're removing both of those. And you're not saying it's her fault. It's not, you're not saying it's my fault. And so where Brené Brown is saying, I did this bad thing, while I don't think it was a bad thing, and it, you're right, we don't need to change what we did, we believe it's a bad thing. As a parent, yes, we're like, I did a bad thing. I didn't fix it. I didn't do it. And so therefore I'm going to feel guilty about it. But we are shaming ourselves and we're saying, next time, man. Yeah. And because I didn't do that thing that I feel like I should have done, right? There's all these expectations. I just did a video for Instagram and it was just a picture of my messy kitchen. And I can't tell you how many times people say, my house is a wreck. I'm such a bad mom. No, just because you didn't clean doesn't mean that you therefore are a bad mom. And being an ADHD adult myself, I don't fit the societal mom persona of
being organized, paying our bills, there with you.
Yeah. Scheduling things, you know, like having a clean house, doing the dishes, making a meal plan, like organizing these family trips. Like, that is not in my wheelhouse. It is not easy for me. I can do it if I focus. It takes all my executive functioning. I'm exhausted afterwards. And so many people in our world, I see them then making that mean, A, I didn't do the right thing. I didn't clean. I didn't stay organized. I didn't remember. I didn't follow through. I didn't. So they feel guilty. Then they say, I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad mom because I can't do all these things. And that's what you're talking about here. Let's remove the guilt. Let's remove the expectation. We talk a lot. I just did an episode with someone talking about pathological demand avoidance, or PDA, which is, you know, most people like the persistent desire for autonomy. And so with that, you're dropping demands for your kids. The same thing is like, when are we going to drop demands for ourselves? When are we going to reduce those expectations on ourselves instead of being like, I got to go, do. And that's what you're talking about. It's okay for us to just be, sit in that discomfort, let it pass, and not put all those expectations on ourselves and blame ourselves for the things that are happening. So I love it so much.
It's true. And you made me actually think that it also has something to do with perfectionism, where it's this sort of all or nothing thinking that you have to check all of these boxes to be a quote unquote good mom, whereas you don't need to. Like, that, where you describing your kitchen, I mean, that describes my kitchen too. I was asked on another podcast that I was on, if someone came to your door and they saw like a messy house behind them, wouldn't you like feel shame or that it's your fault? And I'm like, no, not really. Those aren't the demands I put on myself. Though I look at a mess and I'm like, that could wait. There's no bugs crawling anywhere. We're reasonably clean here. We're good. We're good right there. But there's other demands that I do put on myself in terms of regulating my emotions or being kind to people or helping out, that I think is so important to me and ingrained in my psyche, that like personally is where a lot of my mom guilt comes from, is if I'm not completely helpful, if I'm not completely kind, or if I get angry in any way, that is a current thing I am working through right now. And those are all just things we learn. It goes back to our stories. Like, how were we raised? Did we ever see our moms get angry? I didn't see my mom get angry. She held it all in and all together all the time.
I'm the opposite. So
yeah,
we are like,
you saw that.
Four opposites here. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm total like people pleaser. I will shut my mouth and go,
Yeah. I'm the exact opposite. And I was raised in, you know, a family, and I was told that it's because we're Italian, you know, you're Italian, yeah, you think loud, you argue, that's what we do. And it's like, no, like that's a story we've been told for generations, is that as an Italian, you're going to yell and scream. That's where I see a lot of the guilt coming up, is less about the household chores, but I see more of, I wasn't able to remain calm. I should be further along. I should know more. I should understand my kid more, but I lost it on them. I did these things. And it's like, kiss your brain. You're human.
Like, this, I like that.
Yes, yes, the elementary teacher and me coming out, right?
It's like,
kiss your brain. You are human. It is.
I like
totally
that
nice
phrase, kiss your brain. I like
that. Yeah. It's like, I just did it on a coaching call this morning. I was like, kiss your brain, friends. You are human. This is totally normal.
Dana here. And guess what? My book, Calm the Chaos, has officially launched. So if you enjoy the podcast and find the stuff we're sharing valuable, I'm 100% sure you're going to love the book. You can get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you use this link, you'll also get some special bonuses. So once again, the link is calmthechaosbook.com. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying the show.
We've talked a lot about some of the things I was going to ask you about how it shows up. You've talked about through what it looks like. But in our framework, we've talked a lot about the mindsets. Mm-hmm. Connection is a big one. And this one actually gets missed. People think that connection means just, I'm going to spend time with you. And that then leads to mom guilt, right? Let's say you got three kids. I got three kids and I've got to spend 20 minutes with each kid. That's an hour out of the day. Somewhere in my day, I've got to make sure I'm giving them undivided 20 minute time each person. And then if I get a day behind, now I've got to do 40 minutes each person. And then if I get a week behind, now I got to do 3 hours per each person.
That's
and
it's a just lot. Like, yeah.
It's a lot, right? It just adds up. It adds up. I know that you also believe the same thing, that connection is not built in these dedicated times. Is one-on-one connection fantastic? Yes. Mm-hmm. But can we release guilt around connection? Yes. Can you talk a little bit about the guilt and the shame we might have around connection and then how we can make that swap with connecting with our kids?
Yes. Like, I get so fired up about this topic. We just recorded actually a No Guilt Mom podcast episode about this. So I am fresh in my research in here because I was like, okay, a lot of the ways I release the guilt about like typical lore about parenting, this whole like you have to spend individual time with every single child, is I like to go into the research. I like to go into the history of it. I'm like, how did this come about and where did this recommendation come from? And it started with like the American Association of Pediatrics with the study that they did. And it wasn't any time associated with that study or anything. The conclusion was that playing with your kids is good. It's good to play with your kids. And I think we can both agree.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, playing with your kids is good. And parents should be like encouraged to play with their kids. And then it got a little misconstrued with the recommendations. And I've talked a lot about this with my co-host, Bree Tucker, because she used to work in early childhood. And she used to do a lot of like home visitations with at-risk parents. And a lot of these parents, they're like, how much playing with my kids is appropriate? I need some timelines. I need some guidelines. I want to make sure I'm doing this right, or like just a baseline to measure yourself against. And so she could see how it became, oh, like 20 minutes, just 20 minutes. You know how you give people like just a little guideline, 20 minutes, nothing based on research or anything like that. This one-on-one time thing, the best example I could come up with was an article from Psychology Today where it touted the benefits of how one-on-one time you could really be attuned into your child's behavior, their likes, their dislikes, and really figure out like how this child interacts in the world, because it's definitely different having a one-to-one interaction than it is with a group interaction. Like, people are more free to be themselves. And so in this article in particular, like, parents must spend one-on-one time with their kids. So it's snowballed into this expectation, but that isn't the best thing for connection, because another thing is that there was a study that was mentioned in an article in the Washington Post by Bridget Schulte, where it didn't matter the amount of time that mothers spent with their kids. It was actually more correlated to the amount of education the mothers had. And there was one more thing I forget, but the finding that was extremely important in that is that it was shown to be detrimental if the mothers were spending time with their kids and the mothers were under stress or upset or anything like that, like having these negative emotions being with their kids. And
clarify that. I just want to make sure that doesn't get lost in translation here. I could hear someone listening to this and be like, wait a second, I'm not supposed to have negative emotions around my kid, which is like 100%. You should have negative emotions around your kids.
Oh, totally. No, I'm glad.
Can you just clarify what you were just saying there? I think what you're saying is if a parent is in prolonged stress, if a parent is in like crisis mode, if whatever that is going on, and then they're putting that pressure on themselves to, yes, we're going to have this one-on-one time no matter what, then it has a negative effect instead of having a positive effect. Is that what you were trying to say?
Exactly. I was like getting a little lost. I didn't have my notes in front of me for that article. Oh, and I was trying
I just
to remember
it. That's what we were going off of here. Yeah. And the connection is what I tell people is that being in tune is incredibly important. And to me, connection is not about, I'm going to praise the good things and I'm going to have one-on-one time with you and we're going to go on a family bike ride. Because if you've got a kid that gets stressed out over a family bike ride, then guess what? That family bike ride is not good one-on-one time with your kid. And it's not connection. Instead, it's how can I help you feel safe seen, heard, valued while I'm around you? And yeah. How can I turn towards you? How can I put my phone down? It's those micro moments instead of these big, huge displays of affection. Mm-hmm. It plays into this mom guilt thing because yes. We feel like we can't take time from our kids because we're barely giving our kids enough time. But if on a daily basis, from beginning to end, we are having these micro moments of, oh, what was that? Oh, I noticed this. Okay, hey, what's going on? And your kid feels heard. They feel seen. They feel valued. Their connection bucket is going to be so filled to the brim that when you go take time by yourself, they are not going to need you right beside them because they already have that connection bucket already filled up.
And there's more to that too, because a lot of moms in particular, they do feel that connection bucket and their kids are just like still demanding more. That's a question that we get a lot, still demanding more. And you feel, oh my gosh, I have no extra energy to give them. I am so overwhelmed. And I looked up the study because I do want to clarify what I said in there. This is from, in fact, the study found one key instance when parent time can be particularly harmful to children. That's when parents, mothers in particular, are stressed, sleep deprived, guilty, and anxious. And here's where I read that. It is not that being stressed, sleep deprived, guilty, and anxious is a bad thing around your kids all the time. I read it as it is particularly important that you are taking care of yourself to limit that stress and limit that sleep deprivation, to really focus in on your own needs and how your own needs really have an impact on your kids, because there is no covering up or acting through the moment if you do not have enough sleep or if you are particularly stressed about something or anything like that. The only fix for that is prioritizing yourself as a person. You cannot give all to your kids. So I never want a parent to put this one-on-one time above their self time and their self-care, because you are the most important person. Yeah.
100%. And when we look at what is under the surface of what all humans need, basic needs come first. And that need for felt safety, for emotional safety, for psychological safety, and physical safety, that is first. And our basic needs of being tired, of being fed, all those things are top of the list.
Yes.
And so we have to meet that first for ourselves. Then connection comes next, that need for belonging, that need to feel seen, heard, valued for who we are. And if you notice, connection is the need to feel seen, valued, heard for who you are, not the need to be played with. That isn't connection.
Oh my gosh. No, it's not connection. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you said that, Dana, because like a lot of parents get into this box where they feel like they need to do the activity that their child wants to do, and they have no interest in this activity. And I'm with you there. I have
my daughter
no
has
interest.
This game. She loves to play. My daughter loves games. My husband hates board games. He has a couple he'll play with her. Funny enough, he'll play a game called Ballet Beauties. He absolutely loves it. My daughter's 10. It is like a three-year-old game, or a game for three-year-olds. He loves Ballet Beauties because it's short, fast, and done in 5 minutes. Can't play it longer than that. And he still will play Life Junior with her. She's 10. She's like, I don't want to play Junior anymore. And so it's funny, she has this one game and it's called 1 to T-Rex. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
I've never heard of it, no.
But it's basically like charades on superpower. And so you have to act out these cards you get from an intensity level of 1 to 10. And you have to guess what intensity level other people are playing at. And I gotta have energy for that game. It's so better if you've got 10 kids that are playing this game. So I will tell her, she's like, you wanna play a game? And I'm like, sure, what do you got? And she's like, 1 to T-Rex. I'm like, I don't wanna play 1 to T-Rex. Pick another game, any game. And so the other day she had a friend over and I overheard them in the kitchen, in the dining room, and they were doing really weird things. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And then I heard, you're a T-Rex and you're level 10. And I was like, I know what you're playing. I'm so glad you found someone that will play that game with you and not me. And
exactly. Yeah. I know a lot of the advice out there I'm hearing right now is to play like Minecraft with your kids or Roblox with your kids. Dana, I've tried. I don't like it. I don't like Roblox. I don't like Minecraft. And like my son is totally into those things. It's a compromise.
But
really.
Can you sit beside him while he plays it and not play it?
Or I
can
do that. Yes, I do that.
Talk to you about it.
I do that all the time. I'm not physically playing. Yeah, I'm not physically playing. I'm usually there in the same room. And he's like, hey, can you come down and sit with me? And I'm like, totally can come down and sit with you. And I'm here reading a book and he's here talking to me. So I'm not really reading. I'm trying to read, but he has so much to say during that time. And so that's great. And it doesn't matter that I'm not physically playing the game, but I am just there and in the same room with him. Now, another thing that he finds fascinating is airplanes, and especially like the travel aspect of airplanes. So there's this YouTuber that we love watching named Jeb Brooks, and he just goes and reviews like the travel experience, usually a first class travel experience. That's our thing. Like me and my son, we are all about the club life and the first class. And ooh, how much legroom does this airplane have? And what food do you get here? And that's how... that's like the hobby we connect with. So it's also good to show that you don't have to connect on all of your kids' hobbies. There's some that's going to really interest you, and there's some that's really going to just repulses you to even think about doing the hobby. and that's okay. And that's totally okay. There's another thing. My daughter loves funny videos, and she's like, Mom, it's funny video time. And she hands me her phone, which has a screen time limit on it that she requested. She's 15 years old. We tried the whole, hey, you monitor your own screen time. When she got into high school, she realized that she was spending way too much on it, had no control over it. And she asked us to put her screen time limits back on. So she hands me her phone and she's like, okay, funny video time. And so that's what I punch in the code and I put allow for 15 minutes. And then she has me sit there for 15 minutes and wants me to watch all the funny videos that she has saved on her Instagram. And I have initial pushback against it because I don't like to be told what to do. But I know it's an important connection time with her. So it's one of those things too, when you're connecting with your kids, there is a certain give and take. I'm with you. Funny video time. Every time she comes and she knows exactly how I feel about it, I'm like, okay, we're going to do funny videos. She knows that it's not my fave and I'm doing it for her for that very structured amount of time. I am hers. And she shows me all the funny videos. And I do that maybe once a week. I can't do it every day. Dana, I can't do it.
I don't blame you. We do cat videos, dog videos. Yeah. That's what my daughter and I will do. We watch TV shows together. And I hear people say electronics is not connection time, but there can be a lot of connection. We played the new Super Mario Brothers Wonder with my daughter. And we worked through the whole game together, beating the game. And that's how we were able to create connection. So I think it's removing what the should, like the shoulds and the, this is what you need to do and what you should do. And instead finding something that works for you and your family allows you to release that guilt and release that shame over what it actually looks like in your individual family.
Yes, exactly. Because like screens are never the enemy. They're never the enemy. It's just an advice for entertainment. A lot of people push back on me when I'm like, hey, you know what? You know what else had a lot of controversy? Books. Books did.
With my printing press. The same thing. He was like, if we go back, like, do you remember when TV first came out? And we don't remember. We weren't growing up then. But there was this huge pushback that TV came out. Before that, it was like radio. Before that, it was books. It was like books. At every stage, it's like, oh, we should really worry about that kid who's in his room all day reading books. Yeah. And it was like, we can't get him out into the real world. He's just got his nose stuck in a book. And it was like the same thing is happening, but it's just a different medium. Mm-hmm. And our kids are incredibly savvy. So if we lean into it and we look at it as a tool, there's so many ways we can do that. And again, it goes back to that emotion thing you were talking about at the beginning. It's not leading with the emotion, right? That uncomfortable feeling. We don't have to fix that uncomfortable feeling. We can let that uncomfortable feeling pass, and we don't have to feel guilt or shame or fear around this feeling that we're having. And so I think that's where we could have a whole nother episode just on electronics for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk a little bit. We've talked about like where it comes from, digging into that understand piece of these societal pressures, these expectations, this need to please, this need to give. And we've talked about connection, and we've talked about how that can lead to a lot of mom guilt. What are some action steps? What are some things that moms can do listening to this that they can walk away feeling a little more empowered instead of feeling that shame and guilt that they've been harboring?
Oh, so Something that I believe can help everybody is just to become more aware of your own feelings. And I do this through journaling and noticing, in particular, if you have a situation happen where maybe you're feeling that anger and resentment that I talked about earlier, or you can definitely identify it as guilt, or there's something where you're just hanging out with your child and you're feeling good, and then all of a sudden you realize that you're just feeling icky and shameful, that is a signal that a thought was triggered in your head and you started telling yourself something about that situation that then triggered that emotion. And the only way to start gaining control of those thoughts is to reflect on it. And I always say reflect, and I'm like, teacher education, like, how many reflections did you have to do in your teacher education, Dana?
I'm national board certified, so I had to do a lot.
As am I, yes.
No, that process is all about reflection.
It's about reflection. It's about looking what you did and really analyzing it and figure out, okay, what could I take from this and do differently? But the journal prompt is just going in your journal and being like, okay, like, what was I feeling before? I was feeling really happy and like content. And then what happened immediately before I started feeling icky? And usually you can pinpoint it to some sort of event, like maybe your child threw something on the floor. And when you're able to pinpoint that event, your next question is, okay, well, what did I think about that? What did I tell myself? Oh, I told myself I shouldn't have put that there, and I'm such a bad mom for doing so. And when you go back and journal, you're like, oh, shoot, look at what I told myself. This is so interesting. But then there's another part of it. It's that giving yourself the self-compassion. And Dr. Kristen Neff is like the OG of this. Her books, Self-Compassion and Fierce Self-Compassion, amazing. I recommend them highly. But it's all about three steps. It's first noticing how much you're hurting in that moment, because you are experiencing emotional pain in that moment. Then it's the common humanity step, where you realize that there's other people feeling this exact same way. And if this situation happened, someone else would have had this as well. And then there's the comfort step. And in terms of this journal, it's, what could you say to yourself instead of "I'm a bad mom" that would produce maybe a different emotion? So you could say, he's a toddler. He's getting into everything. Those mistakes will happen. It happens to everybody. And immediately you feel this relief and you notice this emotion. You're like, oh, I feel relief and I feel good. And by doing that, by going back and reflecting on those instances, it's going to then start translating into your normal life, where you're going to give yourself self-compassion in the moment. And that is when you really start alleviating your mom guilt and you're able to take different actions in the moment. That'll completely change how you react in situations.
Beautiful.
Go back and reflect on things.
Yeah.
Choose different thoughts.
And give yourself compassion over the original thoughts you had, right?
Self-compassion.
Don't feel guilty about this.
All the way.
I think caught in a loop of, okay, I'm going to pay attention to what I thought and then be like, oh, I shouldn't have thought that. Now you're creating a whole new loop. Let's not do that. Let's just stop it right there.
Exactly.
So Joanne, this has been so fun. I could talk to you forever, but I know you have things to do. And so I love to ask each person who comes on the podcast one question, and that is, if you were sitting with a mom who is right in the throes of mom guilt, she is feeling all of the weight on her shoulders and she's struggling to let go of that mom guilt, and you only had 1 or 2 minutes to tell her exactly what she needs to hear, what would you say to her?
I would say you're not alone in this. Like, you are not the only one struggling with this guilt. Like, you are so like so many other moms right now. And just know that a big thing that when people come to us at No Guilt Mom, I hear is, I thought I was the only one. I thought I was the only one, because we're so disconnected from this feeling that we're not enough. Like, we all think we're not enough. We think that we have no set idea in our head or set rule about what a quote unquote good mom is, but we all feel like we're not living up to it. And it's such a hard situation. So know that you're not alone. know that there is so many moms out there feeling the exact same way you are. And I encourage you to go out and find those people. Start talking about your guilt among other moms and be really vulnerable about it. And I know that's a hard thing to do, but I have found like when I share my story, it gives people permission to share their story as well. And that's how you find your community. And that's how you get people to really connect with you. And from there, once you have support, oh my gosh, you go so far with alleviating this mom guilt and these should-haves. So that's what I would say. That's a high pressure one. I like want to take away all the guilt right now.
Just be gone. Poof, be gone. Shake it off. No guilt. No, we're all good now. We are free of guilt. But it does lead into my final question, because you talked about support and finding a community. And I know that you've got a beautiful community to help parents with mom guilt and with shedding that feeling. And so can you tell people where to learn more about you and find out more about your beautiful work?
Yes, go to noguiltmom.com, and right there on that page, we have our stop doing checklist, which is just 7 things that we are giving you permission to stop doing right now. That brings women so much relief when they see this list. One of them is about screen time, about you don't have to police screen time anymore. And so get that. And then go on over and listen to the No Guilt Mom podcast and subscribe. We have episodes twice a week, and we're there to give you that bi-weekly. I don't know if that's the word. I always confuse that one with bi-weekly or duo-weekly. Who knows? It's 2 times a week.
Twice a week.
That just encouragement boost. And I look forward to seeing you there.
I love that. This has been such a fun conversation. And if you're listening to this and you have found some reprieve, you have heard something that really resonated, please reach out, let Joanne know, let me know, head on over to your favorite podcast platform, leave a review. We would love to hear from you. I love when people reach out and say that episode, that one right there, that did it for me. Thank you so much. So we love hearing from you. And I just want to leave you with a reminder that you are not alone. Just like Joanne said, you do not have to hold on to this guilt and shame of what you should or what you shouldn't do as a parent. You are the exact parent that your child needs, and you can do this. I will talk to you on the next week's episode. Bye, guys.
Oh, and before I go, one quick note for all of you who are enjoying the podcast. My new book is officially live, and I know you're going to love it. So just a quick reminder, you can go get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you do, you'll get some cool bonuses as well. Once again, get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com, and I'll see you next week.